The second lesson is taken from Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my God, my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Caroline. And now I'd like to introduce Jeff Hackey, vicar of this church many years ago, and he's going to come and speak to us now. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Simon. Well, it all looks the same, but it all looks different. And it is lovely to be back. Viv and I have been very privileged to come back for various things over the last some time, and it always feels like home. So it's nice to be back with you. Simon's asked if I can, for those of you who possibly don't know who we are, just to say a word or two about us. And those of you who do know us well, you can doze gently for a moment or two, but not for long. I'm a former London policeman, having served at Tottenham Court Road and then down in Rotherhithe. And it was down in Rotherhithe where I received a very, very loud call to leave the police force and train to be a minister. And the rest, as they say, is history. Having served as a curate down in New Cross in southeast London, I then followed in the footsteps of a very, very big man, big spiritually and big in stature, Gordon Ogilvie. And I used to see Gordon when I was up at Oak Hill College, and he'd sweep into the college in his gown. And he was a presence. And when I was invited to consider becoming the vicar of St. James New Barnet, I thought, follow that. But God is faithful, and in 1981, one snowy December evening, we arrived here for my induction and licensing as the vicar of St. James. What a proud evening that was. And what a welcome we were given. Viv and our four children, my goodness, three of them in their 40s. Now, the fourth one about to reach the 40s. Six grandchildren, one great-grandson later. We look back on those days with a great deal of affection and love. And then we moved on from here, and I had 11 years as vicar of St. John's Hollington, which is down in St. Leonard's. I had two churches there. And then for 3 years I was the leader of the Crowhurst Christian Healing Centre, the Divine Healing Mission down in Crowhurst near Battle in East Sussex. And then went on to pension, and instead of just completely retiring, I started my employed ministry where I started as a curate, ending up as a what they call a house for duty curate up in three churches near Ware in Hertfordshire, still in Hertfordshire. And then going on for 2 years ago now, where does time go when you're having fun? I retired, and we now live in St. Albans, right next door to St. Stephen's Church, where we are made very at home And as this is the third Sunday on the trot that I've been preaching somewhere else, I think they're going to be wondering where we've got to. But it is so lovely to be back here in St. James's. So, Lord, I just pray that as you have led us all and this church through the years, that you will in this next few minutes lead us a little bit more closely into your presence. For Jesus' sake, amen. One of the wonderful things for me coming here was the opportunity of training curates. Barry, David, Julian, Dave. And we went out and we visited people together, and we did funerals together, and we did baptism preparation together, we did weddings together, we did all sorts of things together. And it was always busy, busy, busy. It was great to be busy. But one of the things I used to love doing was going on staff retreat, when Viv and myself and curate and wife, whichever curate and wife it happened to be at the time, would go away and stay in a cottage or somewhere, and we would have time when we could pray together, we could see each other before we'd cleaned our teeth in the morning. We really got to know each other. And Jenny Penn, Barry's wife, I was reading something by her the other day, and she said, it was then that we really got to know how Jeff is when you get the Monopoly board out. His personality changes. We really had that opportunity of going away from the busyness, just the four of us, to spend time together, to study the scriptures together, to laugh together, to weep together, to discuss, to plan. They were great weekends or midweeks or whatever it was they were. And what we just read about, what Helen's just read about for us, is Jesus going on a staff retreat with the disciples. After all the busyness, after all the criticism of the scribes and the Pharisees, after all the healings and the miracles and the teaching and the preaching and the parables, there they are in a little place called Caesarea Philippi, away from the crowds. Jesus and the 12. They saw Jesus before he'd cleaned his teeth in the morning. Well, no, actually, they probably didn't, because most of the time they'd wake up to find that Jesus had already gone for a little bit of a walk so he could have a pray and find out what the Father's plan was for that day. But they really had the chance of being with Jesus in a very personal way. And on this occasion, Jesus gathers them round him and he says to them, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Now, to you and me, we might think, well, who do the people say the local vicar is? Or who do the people say the local doctor is? The word Son of Man tell us a number of things. First of all, it tells us that this Jesus is not just any ordinary man. But it also tells us that this Jesus is a very ordinary man. It tells us that he's special. It's a title given to the one who will be the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One of God. But it is also the man who gave up his throne in heaven, gave up his godness to become as one of us, faced with all the temptations that you and I are and have been faced with, yet, we are told, without sin. So here is this ordinary yet extraordinary man saying to his friends, who are other people saying that I am? Well, some of them say you're John the Baptist. And if we were to look back to chapter 14 and verse 2, there we find Herod. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. Now remember, this is after he'd beheaded John the Baptist. And he said to his attendants about Jesus, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him. So Herod is saying, well, this is John the Baptist. Come back to life. One thing that I notice, an omission from the disciples do not use the title given to Jesus by the Pharisees in chapter 12, where he says this, where they say, this fellow casts out Beelzebub by Beelzebub. They're virtually saying this man is Satan himself. And if that isn't heresy, then I don't know what is. And the disciples don't discuss that one with Jesus. Some say he's John the Baptist. Some say he's Elijah. Well, you see, the Old Testament tells us that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will appear again on the earth as the forerunner, the one to proclaim, the one who is coming after me, who was yet there before me, is coming. Make way for the King of Kings. And later on in Jesus' ministry, he says, Elijah has come. And if you'd like to think about it, who was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the forerunner. John the Baptist was the one who said, make way, make straight a path for the Lord. And who is this Lord that he's making the straight path for? Jesus, the Son of Man. Others say that you're a prophet, one of the prophets. I find it quite interesting, you know, that Islam accepts and reveres Jesus. Did you know that? Islam accepts and reveres Jesus. But they revere him as probably the most wonderful prophet there ever was. Can you see how close Islam is to being Christian? I know we see the other side of it, or we're told the other side of it, but there at the heart of Islam is Jesus, the greatest prophet of all time. So the disciples, feeling quite pleased with themselves, they've reported back to Jesus what other people are saying. And then Jesus makes it very personal. And what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? You've been listening to all these other people. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, good old Simon Peter, usually opens his mouth and puts his foot in it. He's usually the spokesman for the other disciples, and although it's Peter that says the next sentence, it could have been any of the 12 because they had all reached that stage of knowing Jesus so personally. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, says Peter. Hear, hear, say the others. We know exactly who you are. You are that promised Messiah. I picked up something else while I was reading this passage through again this morning. Jesus said, who do people say the Son of Man is? Sorry, who do people say the Son of Man is? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. See, Peter has moved on from the Old Testament title for Jesus to the New Testament title, the Son of the Living God. I want to pause there for a minute and come right up to date. Because for 100 years now, St. James's has stood here on this site. I can't remember how many vicars there have been in that time. And I definitely can't remember how many parishioners or MEP church members there have been through those years. But what I do know is that this church has faithfully, through its ministry and through its membership, shared and preached and taught faithfully who Jesus is. And I come here infrequently, and it's lovely to see a church that is still moving forward. You see little changes each time, and so far as I'm concerned, they're great changes. The moving forward. Let me go back to my time as a child. My dad was a vicar, and I went to church and liked going to church and Sunday school every Sunday, sometimes twice on a Sunday. I loved it. I knew the Bible. I knew the Psalms. I knew the prayer book. I knew the hymns. Do you know what I didn't know? I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him. I knew about him, but I did not know Jesus. So when I became a policeman and came to London, I found church was irrelevant and meant nothing to me. And then, having met and married Viv, and having had our first two children, we went to church one Christmas, where we met a curate who knew Jesus. And he introduced us to Lillian. Looked a bit like Olive Oil, you know, Popeye's girlfriend. Lillian knew Jesus. She introduced us to Andrew, who knew Jesus. And suddenly, the difference between knowing about him and seeing people who knew him gave us a shove. And I'm thrilled to say that for the rest of our lives since that time, Viv and I have walked in the growing knowledge of who Jesus is. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. And I just want to issue a little challenge this morning. You might say, Jeff, I've been coming here for donkey's years. Don't need this little challenge. We all do, believe me. How much do you know about Jesus? And how much do you know Jesus? That's a question to take home. And please ponder it through the week. And do remember that in Bible thought, is not a one-off thing. Oh yes, I met Jesus then. It's about, I keep on meeting Jesus. I go on meeting him. He keeps coming to me and I keep coming to him. It's an ongoing thing. So you may have known him for a long time, but are you going on being with him and getting to know him? I could stop there, but the rest of the passage is interesting as well. So I want just 5 more minutes at the most. Simon says, you're the Son of the living God, the Christ. And Jesus says, well done, Simon. How blessed you are. Because you've not heard that with your ears. No man or woman has told you that. But my Father in heaven has told you. One of the things I've loved doing through my ordained ministry is leading what we call searching groups and home groups. And what I always found exciting about these groups is you start new with new people and you don't know them all that well, they don't know you very well, and you start to teach and you start to read and you start to learn, and then suddenly someone comes out with a statement. Bang! And there in the middle of the group you feel the earth move. Because suddenly God has just given somebody personally a sense of deep knowledge of who he is. And I look for that every time I lead a group now. I wait for the earth to shake as somebody else realizes what has happened. So, and how blessed we are that God doesn't only speak to, well, he speaks to clergy occasionally, but he speaks to us as people, individuals. He speaks to us. If you never heard his voice in your ears, don't worry about it. But if you haven't heard his voice inside you, pray for it. Ask for it. Because God will meet you and will speak with you and to you from the very depths of your being. And you won't have any doubt when it happens. Well done. How blessed you are, Simon, son of Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that your name, yes, I know your name's Simon. I think a lot of people here know that my first name is Michael. My parents, for some reason or other, called me Jeffrey. I gladly shortened it to Jeff donkeys years ago. But my parents could have said, your name is Michael, but I'm telling you, Jeff. And that's just what Jesus does with Peter. He says, Simon, from now on I tell you your name is Peter, which means a rock. And on this rock I will build the church up. And in Peter's letter later on, he talks about living stones. This building of brick and wood and stone has stood here for 100 years. But the church in New Barnet was here before this building, and it will be here long after this building. Because the church, of course, is you and me. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and even hell will not be able to overcome it. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That is the second largest key to St. James's New Cross, St. James Hatcham, where I served as curate. And there I was, a brand new curate, and my first staff meeting with the vicar, he said, I'm going to give you the keys to St. James's. The church later on was sold on, and the lock was changed. And when I went to hand the key back, my vicar said, I've got the bigger one than you have. We can both keep them. Do you know, the sense, a strange sense, there was like just still feeling a wet behind the ears curate, still feeling more a policeman than a minister, and I'm handed the key to the church. The church didn't belong to me, it still doesn't. But I had access to that church any time of the day or night. I could get the key and I could unlock the door and I could go into the church. And the kingdom of heaven does not belong to Peter, but Jesus gives him the key. He says, I'm going to give you access to the kingdom any time that you like. I wish I'd got enough keys to give you a blank key this morning to say you too have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus has given us the kingdom. Don't be afraid, little flock, says Jesus. My Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's chuffed to bits to give us the kingdom. We have access to the kingdom of God night and day, anytime you like. You might like to pat your pocket occasionally. Remember that apart from your car keys and garage key and door key and every other key that you've got on your key ring, just remember you've got an invisible key as well. Keys to the kingdom. And even more importantly, the keys to the king. Because we have his ear night and day, even on Christmas Day. 365 or 366 days a year, we have access to the kingdom of God. So I finish by just reminding you. You know what I think about Jesus, because I've told you a little bit this morning and some of you heard me lots of times before. You know what other people know about Jesus. What do others say about me? But what about you, says Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Lord, help us to answer that question honestly and trust you to lead me from this moment on in a new and a special way. For Jesus' sake, amen.